How important do you think it is to look back on our history as a nation and reminisce or learn from it as well? The National Archives of Australia does exactly this, preserving the past in film, photos, texts, documents, etc. However, institutions like this have been forced to undergo multiple budget cuts within the past few years, which is affecting this work. Luckily for us, though, Michelle Arrow, Professor of History at Macquarie University, joins the show to discuss. How's it going, Michelle?
Yeah, good. How?
So, I think we might have blocked up. Are you there, Michelle?
Yes, I'm there.
Sorry. Oh, fantastic. Thanks for joining. Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday to you too.
So could you give us an idea as to how, I don't know, vital the National Archives are to preserving this history? How do they work as an institution? Because it sounds like it could be multiple bodies, or are they just one body in and of itself? And I guess, what do they do day to day?
No, that's a good question, because if you don't, you know, if you're not like me and you're a historian using the National Archives, you may just kind of think, well, someone keeps it somewhere, right? But
yeah,
I don't
really
know what they do. So the National Archives is the body that was set up to collect all the records that are generated by Commonwealth government and its agencies. So that includes things like the ABC as well. So it's everything that is generated by a federal government department or an agency is supposed to go into the National Archives. And then after a set period of time, so they don't, you can't go in and see something that was generated yesterday.
Right.
But what they do is they keep it safe for us. And so after the period where we're allowed to access them as citizens, which is usually about 20 years, you can then request to see those records. And so that means that, you know, anything regarding Australian history produced by the Commonwealth government in the 20th century, the National Archives is meant to keep a record of it there. And that includes ABC programs and ABC documentary materials. But any migration records, military service records, anytime anyone has an interaction with the federal government, there's a record of it kept, you know, generated within the National Archives. So it's a pretty important archive, not just for understanding the ways that government works, but also the ways that people have interacted with government. So it's actually a record of ordinary citizens as much as it is a record of politicians. So that's why it's such an important set of materials, and they're not kept anywhere else. These are unique materials that are only kept in the National Archives.
Sure. So why then is funding dwindling kind of year on year then?
Yeah, it's a really good question, really. It was something that a lot of people have been wondering. One of the things that we've seen really since the late 1980s, and so it's actually something that governments of both sides have done.
Right.
So in 1987, the federal government introduced what they call an efficiency dividend on all government agencies. And what that meant was it was meant to make agencies and departments more efficient. So the idea was that every year you'd have to hand back a small part of your budget, and that would make you be more efficient and find savings and find new ways to do things. But over time, of course, that efficiency dividend has impacted more seriously, and it has kind of not just been about finding efficiencies, but actually eroded the ability of these institutions to do their core business. And in 2015-16, the Commonwealth government imposed a further 3% cut on all government national cultural institutions, so the National Library, the National Gallery, the National Archives, basically as part of their, you know, they're trying to save money. They believe that, I don't think really that, you know, our current government has a really strong belief in the value of national cultural institutions.
Right.
They kind of, you know, I mean, I do think it is it's been an action on both sides of parliament, but I do think that, you know, our current government, by imposing that additional 3%, really then impacted quite significantly in terms of numbers of jobs in the sector. The National Archives has lost around 100 staff since about 2013-14, and they didn't have a huge number of staff to start with.
Right.
And so all of this starts to then erode their ability to do their, you know, core business, their functions. So, yeah, it's been a real problem over a significant period of time, but it's getting to the point now where if the National Archives doesn't receive a kind of recommended injection of funds of about $67 million, that they will lose a lot of kind of irreplaceable material by 2025. It will just disappear.
Sure.
It won't be able to be accessed anymore.
Have we seen examples like this maybe internationally in nations that have defunded and then, I don't know, the culture, to use a pretty broad sense, of the country is affected in a negative way as a result? I don't know if we're not archiving certain footage, if we're not archiving certain documents, maybe even future legislation and stuff could be affected because we don't have precedents there, or like kind of archives of
absolutely
of precedents and stuff to draw off. Is this something that could have a genuine negative effect?
Yes. I mean, I think one of the things that's negative about it that's most important, we kind of think archives, we think, historians, you know, they're the only people that really care about what goes in archives, or maybe family historians. Like if you want to go and find out when your grandfather served in the war, you can pull up his military service records and all that sort of stuff.
Especially being with Australia's colonial history
Yeah, it's really important. But the other thing I think that's really important about this is that it's actually a really important issue about transparency and democracy. Like, citizens have the right to understand why governments made decisions, you know, the decisions that they did and on what basis they made those decisions. And, you know, if we think about the archive open period being 20 years, it's only 20 years ago that we can now look at a lot of the material that was generated by, say, cabinet discussion and that kind of stuff and have access to that material. So it's actually really an important part of kind of democratic decision making and openness that we can access that stuff. And I think the other thing is, you know, I mean, it's a kind of hoary old argument, but it's still really important, which is that if we don't keep this material, we'll never be able to write histories using it, you know, so we can't access material about ordinary people and their interactions with government. So politicians will always leave lots of records behind. They write their exhaustive memoirs and they, you know, donate their personal papers to institutions, whatever, but it's those ordinary people's records that I think we will lose if we kind of let this material fall off the digital cliffs, which is what they call the thing when material deteriorates to the point where it can't be played or it can't be preserved. And I think too, one of the things that it strikes me is really important in the 20th century is if we think how much the mass media has taken up sort of space in our lives, you know, how much of our lives we've watched through television or understood through television and radio and things like that. If we lose that material, then we kind of won't know what people sounded like, you know, in the 20th century. I don't know about you, but if you hear people speak from 50, 60 years ago, they really sound really different.
Yeah,
you know?
It is odd.
You know, and yeah, it's really odd. And, like, that's really important to understand that stuff. Like, that's a really important part of understanding our cultural memory and the ways that Australian voices have changed, you know, the kind of globalisation of the Australian accent. And, you know, there's just so many different things that we will lose if we don't. And also it's important to think about the questions we might not even know we want to ask yet. Yeah. You know, if we don't know right now, we don't know to preserve particular pieces of archival material, but it may turn out in 10 years' time that that bit was really important. So it's important to keep this material for citizenship and transparency and democracy, but it's also important to keep it because we just don't know what we might want to ask of it.
Yeah, of course. To that point, I suppose, well, Australia is like an increasingly, like anywhere around the world, John, I mean, constantly evolving. I said before, Australia's colonial history, should have said kind of rich migrant history as well.
Yeah.
Not to play devil's advocate at all, Michelle, but is there any argument to be made that maybe there could be an element here, decline in funding might be an example of, I don't know, a wish to kind of brush Australia's more kind of distasteful parts of our history away. Is there anything in that, or is that, I don't know, a bit misguided to say?
Look, I think one of the things that we can see, if we think about some of the other government actions around historical preservation, now at the moment where they're saying, well, we're not sure yet if we're going to give the archives money to you know, preserve this irreplaceable material, $67 million. So it's not a huge amount of money in government terms. They're spending $500 million on an extension to the Australian War Memorial. And part of that includes knocking down a building that was only built about 20 years ago. So I think that we have to ask about the priorities of the current government if that's where their priorities are, to spend $500 million on an already, like, that was the one national cultural institution that didn't get a 3% funding cut in 2016. So I kind of think that they think that, you know, military history is a winner, people are engaged in that kind of history, and other kinds of history maybe people don't really care about so much. But of course, what that ignores is that the war memorial records are all kept in the National Archives. Military history is kept in the National Archives as much as, you know, migration history or any other kind of history there too. So I think that we can see in the priorities around funding, some of the priorities around what history they think is most important. But
right.
I just don't think you can understand military history without understanding the other history that happens around it. You know, so it's a sort of pointless, it's not really history. If you're only collecting things for people to go and admire and stand in a gallery and look at, you know, like, you actually need to collect, you know, we need all of those other aspects of history preserved as well.
Sure thing. Thanks so much for joining the show this morning, Michelle. I appreciate your time. Have a good week, and I guess all the best. Hopefully there's plenty of stuff there for you in your work going forward.
Let's hope so.
Alrighty, cheers.
Thanks very much, Jared.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Professor Michelle Arrow from Macquarie University, providing us with some insight into the current state of the National Archives and the importance of preserving our Australian history.